Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light. And this month's topic has just been so juicy and so divine as we've been exploring the intricacies of what divine union really is. So as we continue this exploration, this week we are joined by Ben Geo and Delfina to hear how they bring balance and sovereign love into their devotional partnership. Together, they create spaces for authentic expression and healing, supporting individuals and communities to step more into truth. And I'm just so honored to have both of you here with us. I have known these two gems for about 7 months now. We met auspiciously at the same time that I met my beloved now. And there's just been so many synchronistic interweavings and parallels in our relationships. And so I was just super excited that you guys wanted to come on the show and share about your experience, because I know that the way that you guys do relating is so new earth and new paradigm. And there's so many beautiful codes to share for those who are listening and wanting that divine partnership, but not wanting to do it the same way that it's been done, and wanting to be free, and also wanting that devotion, the sovereignty and devotional aspects mixed together. And that's something that I just adore about your guys' connection. So without further ado, welcome onto the show.
Thank you. We're so glad to be here. It's an honor.
Well, it's a pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's just jump right in there. I want to start off by asking the question, how would the two of you define divine union?
Mm-hmm. Would you like to start, Love?
I can. Thank you, Love. So my understanding of divine union continues to evolve with each day, is what I would say. And with actually each new experience that I have in relationship with not just by my partner, but also my friends and my family, and particularly my daughter. So to me, divine union is relationship with higher self, is relationship with God, is relationship with Goddess, is relationship with myself in this human form. And in particular, since I'm doing this with Ben right now, and we do understand our relationship to be a divine union, I'd say that it's an opportunity for me to get to know who I am better through the relationship and through the reflections of the experience. It just so happens that right now in my life, Ben is a primary person who reflects back to me all the time who I am, what I want, where I'm going. And my capacity and my choices and who I keep saying it's like who I really am, who I'm stepping into. And I get to see this on a pretty consistent, regular basis through the relationship with him. And I'll define our relationship. It's romantic, sexual, allyship, friendship, best friendship. And that is my present understanding of a divine union, is just to come into relationship with myself more deeply through the experience of being in relationship with another person and understanding who I am and creating space for myself fully, while also acknowledging the important relationships that are also in my life. So finding a balance and being in that balance without compromise, but instead with truth.
Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, I love that. Like, the other person isn't a distraction, from your own growth and awareness, it's actually an invitation to meet yourself on deeper layers and levels through that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Such gold. And I'm curious, Ben, how would you define divine union?
Thank you. Yeah, really echoing a lot of the mindset of balance and Delphina's words. There's something that feels beyond this life and into the roles of archetypes and
mm-hmm.
who we came here to be, not just who we are now, that seems divinely reflected between us in this union, in this friendship, and in this partnership. It's like we both hold very clear mirrors of each other and point them in to see more of ourselves and each other. And what makes it divine is this devotion to this state of being and this state of becoming, I feel, that emerges when we allow ourselves to fully dissolve into the we and return into the I. We have the individuals that hold up the pillars of the temple, and we come together into the us and then all the way into the we, and find ourselves going back and forth in this dance. And that's how we met dancing, where the way we dance now is it feels like not much has changed in the energy of just remembering who we are and feeling that capacity, feeling that willingness, feeling that love pour through the space of the dance that's created together when we're both listening to ourselves and each other.
Wow. Guys, you are so beautiful. So what I'm hearing reflected back from both of you is that divine union, to sum it up, is a recognition that we're all mirrors for one another, and an acceptance and an embracing of that truth, right? Mm-hmm. And a dance, ultimately. And what I'm curious about, because I know so many relationships have so many issues, right? And when two people are together and they are willing to see this reflection, whatever is there to digest, I'm curious how you navigate the challenging reflections, and how compassion comes into play as you're looking at a version of yourself through another being in the space of this partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to feel this question first and just get right down to it, that I feel like some people have this idea that divine union is just like peace and like a still pond of what it's like to be sharing that space in the pond. But really, I find that it creates a space for us to fully lean in to the riptides of all that we have gone through to be who we are. And it's like we actually support truth more than I would say anything else. And in my own relating and in my own life, if there's ever a conflict that I am experiencing, whether it comes from a trauma that existed long before I met Delphina, or from the relationship itself, where my feelings are hurt, where something is going on, where there's something that creates a kind of an experience where I'm coming from a place of lack or despair or longing or desire. It's like what I like to fully lean into in this space is truth, is the ability to fully speak my truth and invite the truth of Delphina too. And what the single thing that I feel like makes it possible is the ability to eventually at least take accountability for what's ours, so that we can maintain our balance. And so, for example, we recently had a contraction last night, where I had so much coming up for me about all this visioning within me about inclusion, about desire, about being cared for. And what I notice is that we choose a role to be able to not just reflect our light, but reflect our struggle, to be able to have the space to fully express what is going on for each other. And to be able to take that in without taking it on, I think is a pinnacle component of what allows the fullness of what exists within the emotional spectrum that we're here to live, and honestly that we're here to lean into when we've been taught the opposite. And to the best of my ability, I feel like being able to name what's going on for me, and to do that with Delphina, where there's space for my experience and hers, that's really the meaning of compassion for me, is when I can have an experience and not need her experience to be different if we are both triggered, for example.
Are you open to, this is resonating so much, and Elfina and I were talking about something similar, just this concept of how important it is to speak our truth, and not in the sense that we need validation for it, right? I feel like that's an old paradigm element, but that it deserves to be seen and held and witnessed. And in that witnessing, there's transmutation. So yeah, I'm just curious if you're open and willing to share like a specific example of what this looks like in your partnership, like where there's a contraction, you're maybe feeling triggered, like how do you, because I know there's people that are listening right now and they're like, how do I do this? Like, I just don't know the way. I was never taught the way. I feel frustrated. I feel overwhelmed. Like I've felt so many times, like I just don't have the words. I don't have the tools. So like, is there a specific structure in the way that you share these things that can come up and be kind of sticky and uncomfortable?
Yeah. Babe, is it okay if I take this one?
Please.
Yeah, okay. To me, it comes down to love. And it's not just love for Ben, but it's love for myself. And it's love for the full spectrum of my human experience and acceptance. So accepting all parts of myself, accepting all behaviors exactly as they are, to know that I am perfectly imperfect in the cosmic unfolding of this life. I am exactly where I am supposed to be, and I am exactly lovable. So even though I may see things that reflected in the contraction that I'd like to change, which I often see that, if not always see that, and I hesitant to say always, but in my experience so far, I've not had an experience where I didn't receive something that I'm going toward. So for me, it's really about consciously choosing this relationship in this moment, in this now. And that has been something that continues to be a theme for us since the union began, is we had this really beautiful night together. It was New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. And we continued to say to each other throughout the night, I choose you, I choose you. And we continue to evaluate in every day, in every moment, do I still choose this as it is, as it exists in my life, in the form that it is taking? And if it's a yes on both ends, which it has been so far for about a little over a year now, then I can be in the fullness of who I am as well in this relationship and fully accepted. So not only am I accepting myself, but also this partner that I have, he loves me, and he loves me in the form that our relationship is taking. And although, and this is where the compassion comes in, the word compassion that was verbalized earlier. This is where the compassion comes in. Like, I am compassionate to your situation. I'm compassionate to your experience. I'm compassionate to my own. And the contractions for us are frequent and intense and immense at times. And sometimes not so much. I see it as a continuum. It's like expansion and contraction. And sometimes we're just doing this. But sometimes we're doing, I'm all the way over here. And then I get to be all the way over here once we move through, and only until we move through.
Yeah, I love this expand to contract to expand, right? And that when things are coasting, like you said earlier, the relationship kind of just lacks like a luster. It kind of lacks a passion. It's kind of just that vanilla maybe style relating that a lot of the world, like a majority of relationships are in, but it doesn't feel super alive. It doesn't feel super fulfilling. And what I feel like we neglect to really always understand is that in order to have that like huge expansion, it does require somewhat of a contraction. And I really love what you both said around how the relationship is devotional to truth. Like above all else, it's really about being devotional to truth. So something that's coming through is like these divine union relationships, even more than being committed to one another, it feels like the core crux is being devoted and committed to truth. And seeing our partners as this bearer and channel of truth, speaking things to us, speaking messages from the divine. And are we able to look at that truth? Are we able to see that truth that is being reflected to us in another and about us from another? And that feels like, from my experience and just from gathering what you two are sharing, that being able to allow the truth of any present moment, whether that's someone else's emotions, whether that's a pattern or a trauma that's being pointed out, allowing that truth to just be absorbed. And sometimes the truth is really hard to absorb. And sometimes our egos really want to fight that truth. And sometimes that truth has been really suppressed and buried. And so sometimes it takes a little bit longer to like work through those contractions. And I think in a lot of relationships, when truth comes up, people would rather just run away altogether and give up. And I believe that is what makes these unions so divine, is that there is a devotional, there is a devotion to truth. And the people that are in the union are actually so devoted to their own growth and their own remembrance of who they are and their truth, that they're willing to put the ego and all of that aside and say, whatever it is, I'm devoted to my truth in this lifetime. And this person is the greatest teacher that I have right now of guiding me back to my truth.
Mm-hmm. It's a truth thruple.
Yeah. Yeah. So like in specific, like a specific contraction, what, like if you could walk us through just a simple process, giving us maybe a scenario of a recent contraction you had, and then sharing like in this situation, step by step, like what is the ideal way to work through a contraction so that people might have some more understanding of certain emotional intelligent tools to use to navigate these realms.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting because, you know, I love that question so much. And babe, I'd like you to speak on it a lot too, because you have some really beautiful tools. For me, it's actually about getting a little messy and loving myself through that messiness.
Mm-hmm.
And although Ben has boundaries and really beautiful, great boundaries, he still loves me. His love still remains unconditional. Unconditional with boundaries. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about like concrete tools, I'll let Ben talk about his that he has. And I'll just speak to one that came up recently where, you know, we belong to, or we choose to participate in a couples group. We've been invited to do that. We've been doing it for some time. And for me, a tool that has been really helpful is being in our space of truth and being witnessed by other people and receiving their thoughts and feedback as they are also in divine union. And they have some really great ideas that we're not always thinking of because we're not always able to be objective, even when we think that we are. But to receive that objective feedback from others has been really helpful for me.
It's a really great
point. And babe, whatever you have to contribute as well, because I feel like I jumped into the question, but I also have a lot of interest in what you have to say about it.
Thanks for jumping in and passing it on. I feel really empowered by that lead-in to get right into the the core of what comes to me here. So you asked for an example, and one example that comes to mind was, you know, Ava has a daughter and a full-time job. And I was noticing that I was really...
Delphina has a daughter and a full-time job named Ava.
Yes, named Ava. And I was noticing I was really desiring quality time and presence. And the felt sense of being with Delphina, my partner. And by the time I had the chance to talk about it, I was coming from a place of lack of something deeper than the relationship, of like the desire for presence, the desire for that time. And one thing I noticed when I brought it up, when I came from that from the mud, is that it created a trigger in Delphina's experience too, right? And so there's a couple of like checkpoints that I like to keep in mind when I notice this happen. One is when there is a trigger, is it something that I want to try to resolve? And is my amygdala fired up right now? And like, can I resolve it with the current state of my amygdala in a fight or flight response? Is a really important question. For example, Elfina, you brought up not running away. And I think a lot of people are afraid of running away to a point where they might not need to, or they might not consider how running away is not actually running away in a moment, but actually taking a pause. The sacredness of a pause can create space for us to not try to resolve and poke at something on a table while we're in a flight or a fight response. And I notice is really essential for me to be able to trust that when she has like an abandonment wound coming up. And I know that I need to pause in order to collect and re-empower myself instead of projecting that disempowerment on her. The pause can be really important. So creating a check-in where I can ask if, first of all, that I can declare to myself, not whether it's right or wrong, whether I should or shouldn't, that just comes from the ego, but am I available for this right now? Mm-hmm. If I'm not, to be able to create a time where we can come together and resolve has been a goal of mine. And in our relationship, it's been a difficult one because my tendency is just to face the wind and directly confront struggle and pain to get through it, right? It can feel so good to just like want it to be over. But I really, really value that check-in moment where I can ask myself, am I available right now? And if not, when can I be? And if there's discomfort, I can ask myself, is this generative discomfort? To have the distinction of whether discomfort is generative for the relationship, like ripping off a Band-Aid so you're healing, or not meddling inside of a wound so that it can close up. Like really allowing the space for us to be in our experience without over-meddling or wanting to people-please or change it into something else. So there is this distance that I think needs to be had at times to be able to come into a space of balance to allow for that fullness of the experience to come through. And for me, re-empowering myself is the best way that I can hold space for someone else.
I love that reframe of just, it's really about the our ability to meet anyone else is a direct reflection of our ability to meet ourselves first and foremost. And if we're not regulated, if we're in fight or flight mode, how are we going to come into regulation with anyone or anything around us? And I feel like I've had a similar tendency, Ben, in relationships where I want everything to be fixed right away. I hate going to bed upset. And something I've been learning is, yeah, the importance of that sacred pause as well. And that oftentimes when we want to fix something right away, that's coming from a trauma response, because there's some fear that if we don't do that, if we don't conflict resolve right away, then we're going to lose the relationship, or something was going to be taken away from us. And it's like a scarcity mindset. But if we can lean into that trust and that breathe into that spaciousness, it's so similar to like the theme of, and I want to get into this next, into this theme of sovereignty and spaciousness and how healthy that is for relationships. It goes back to that general theme. And so I'd love to kind of transition into that too, and just hear a little bit more about what makes your guys' relationship dynamics so unique and so new earth. And maybe you guys can each share about, or both share about, the sovereign aspects and the devotional aspects of your union, and why those two pieces are so integral to be, to come together.
I have a lot pour through me.
Go ahead, babe, and do that.
So I grew up enabling codependency with my empathy, people pleasing, and with a lack of boundaries, overgiving and pouring from my cup before I had any for myself. I feel like this is the roadmap to what we've been taught relationships and romance is actually the disempowerment of yourself for others. And I've been moving more and more in my life, closer and closer to relationships that don't put part of yourself away to be in them. And so I'd like to speak on the word sovereignty. Sovereignty to me means the ability to make a choice based off of right now, not fear, and not a rule that you make for someone else from the past. And a lot of our relationship has been an experiment with Delphina and I. For most of it, we wanted to see what it would be like if we fully leaned in to surrender to the trust of the divine mystery without the creation of agreements. You know, like a part of me was like wondering, like, if you make an agreement that dictates the choices you make, like, how aligned are you in the consideration of everything in the ever moment present now, where every moment can be the first moment, where every day can be day one? Like you said, when we're in a static place, maybe there's like a settling energy, or there could be an energy of not really like choosing yourself or another. So I've been really interested in how sovereignty for me can connect to fully choosing and having the freedom to choose in each moment, how it's most aligned for me to show up with the love that is within me. And one thing I have noticed on this spectrum between sovereignty is that there's a really strong importance for balance between that and, for example, safety, to create balance between freedom within the relationship, without the relationship, in the self, in the other, but also safety, right? Like we were in this couples group recently where someone spoke of having a pillow of security being so important to balance the radical nature of love, which I feel that I am practicing in our relationships, so that we can be in the center by knowing the extremes of safety and freedom, security and sovereignty, of interdependency and autonomy, of comfort, but also growth, of union and also community, of that consistency and reliable dependability of the masculine, where I can support her safety, but knowing that ultimately she's the only one that can speak for what makes her feel safe, to be in convergence and divergence of depth and expansion within and out of the relationship, so that sovereignty is really just the ability to choose in truth for the fullness of your own garden without leaving it to support the garden of the security and the devotion that exists from the fruit of your own garden into the garden of the relationship.
This is beautiful. Yeah, I mean, what came up through everything that you were sharing was, I suppose, a question, right? In the space of what you were speaking into between the line of sovereignty and safety. I know in my personal experience, like I've through relationship recognized that my safety is my responsibility, but also noticed there were points where I felt like my safety was triggered or threatened in the space of a relationship. And I'm wondering if something like that has presented itself to you. And I was in an open relationship. And so I was being tested a lot in that space. And just, yeah, wondering if you have an example of like where the line is and what you end up taking responsibility for in the other person, you know, right? Like, hey, like they feel unsafe. Like, is this my responsibility to meet them? Do I want to meet them? Like, how do you differentiate that?
I think it's a really excellent question. And I think it's important to know like how our relationship or how we to really know who you are, right? And through this person and through the way that we're relating, I'm really learning who I am. So how I've seen devotion and how I've seen sovereignty has evolved over time. And I remember during the beginning of our relationship, we decided like, we were going to trust what is right for us in every moment. And I want to say that like my heart has been cracked wide open. And I've experienced actually a lot of heartbreak in this space. And this is my first open relationship. And what's come to mind for me is this ultimate decision. Like if I truly am, first of all, I am always safe. I am always held. I am always protected. But sometimes it's hard to really know that in every moment. And that holding actually has nothing to do with Ben. It has to do with my relationship to my higher self, to the divine. It has to do with my trust in this universe to hold me. And still, I am a human being. And so when I think about, and this has come up and I don't necessarily have the necessarily an answer for you, but I can tell you that I have considered, okay, well, if we're going to be in an open relationship, then, and I am responsible for my safety, sometimes I'm left with a very challenging experience where, like, can I be in an open relationship? And actually asking myself that question. Because if I ultimately am responsible for the safety of the little girl that's inside of me who's hurting right now, is it good for me to be in this dynamic? And I get to ask myself that question. And so lately, that has been a question that has been coming up. Like, can I right now, not always, not ever, but right now in this moment, is it safe for me to be in an open dynamic? And I think that's what we're exploring is how open is the dynamic right now based on who I am right now, not who I'm going to be or who I was, but who I am right now and being in our truth, right, babe? Like being able to say the hard things like that to this person that I love, who I ultimately care about and know how he relates in this world safely for him, but not at the expense of me, who doesn't relate as openly, or at least just so far radical. The experience is that I don't relate as openly, right, babe? So yeah. We're just figuring it out, and I actually don't have the answer, and what I thought I knew today is very different anyway. And today, although I have tried this like open dynamic because I wanted to, I chose it. I was choosing my safety. And then at some point, a shift really did occur for me where we had to back up and choose, like with the support of friends and right now with where my nervous system is. And needing to tend to that, can I be in an open dynamic now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right now. And really looking at it from the perspective of now.
Yeah. What I'm hearing from what you're saying is that the tapping into the truth of the now, and when we make these agreements in terms of like, this is our whole relationship agreement, it can really box us from connecting with our truth in the moment. And instead we're living in these pre-assigned agreements and roles. But what I'm hearing is that sovereignty really is about checking in with your personal truth in any given moment. And that as a relationship evolves, it's naturally going to change. And what your guys' agreements or how you are relating together yesterday could be different than how you're relating today, could be different than how you're relating tomorrow. And as long as you're honoring and communicating your truth, then you are preserving safety within that relationship.
I love that, Alpina. Yeah.
So it really goes back to self again.
It comes back to self. And yet there's the safety of being fully supported by the other, which I feel as a man in the role of a man in a relationship in a divine union, when there's so much around, you know, the idea of keeping your partner safe and how important that is, like archetypally, like energetically from a primal perspective, what I do to keep Delphina safe without confusing myself into the idea that I could keep anyone the way they are at all. Right. And it's like these two words come up when this feels really challenging. It's like compatibility versus like the growth, right? Like I noticed that when Delphina's triggers can come up, I have a choice. And sometimes if she feels unsafe, there are ways that I could inadvertently disempower her or shoulder her pain and take her away from her growth journey by doing so. And then there are ways that if she's feeling pain, that I could come in and be that support to fully step into how she could be supported by the masculine frame to be held fully, to be protected in that way too. And it's been a very challenging journey for me to balance what I can do when I know that there's so much that I am impacted by in the world of how love moves all around me and all the things that I feel and all the things that I see. And really when it comes down to it, for me, it's been about balance and transparency, that inner truth. And it's been a lot easier for me to make experimental containers. If she asks me, if there's something that I can do to support her security, it's a lot easier for me to consider a time-bound experience for that. Because there's a radical nature of uncompromising how I show up as who I am. And I noticed that if there's a time-specific attribute or quality to a request, it is no longer about who I am. It's about what I am available for right now, which seems to be a theme in this conversation. It could be hard to be like, does this ultimately serve me or not? And really, when it comes down to it, I think it's that question. Am I available for this right now so that we can feel fully free to name our desires and our needs with that in mind?
Yeah. The question that's coming through, since we've been talking more about the sovereignty piece and being in this open dynamic and speaking our truth and in every given moment, I'm curious as to how you've also been able to infuse these codes of devotion into an open relationship. Because I feel like a lot of people are like, how do I do that? How do I stay open and free? But how do I also feel chosen? And how do I also choose commitment and devotion? So would you mind sharing a little bit more about how you are able to be devoted and free?
Sure. I think it's a really good question. For me, safety, feeling safe, is freedom. And also, feeling available for the now is also freedom. So I agree with Ben about like time-bound containers can be extremely supportive and helpful.
And even if explain that a little bit more, what a time-bound container means.
Yeah, sure. So one that we did very recently, we actually did not experiment with containers at all in the very, actually for the majority of our relationship. And recently we've been experimenting with those more because that's what was needed. I think in the beginning of the relationship, what was needed was to not, and to have the experience and then to decide from there, because ultimately we both value truth and both value that when he chooses me, he is. And that when I choose him, I am. There's something about that emergence that is very important to both of us, which is why for a good portion, we didn't have these containers for the most part. And even when we would explore it, we would land there, right? But we would land with, and I really want this to be free, freely chosen in every moment or not, right? And with that has come, like I had mentioned, like a lot of heartache for me, because of what is natural for me in terms of relating versus what's natural for Ben in terms of relating. So more recently we decided to do like a month of, I don't even know what it was, babe, but it was more, it was less open. It was a less open month. So that I could just feel into my truth more and to feel what it feels like to be there, because it's been so long, to give me more clarity. And so, babe, do you want to explain what the container even was? It was, you know, sure. We talked about like the pillows and we have these great metaphors we'd love to share with you. And the cage.
I like the way you said it. Yeah, I like the way you said it. It was really around like giving her a guarantee that something that wouldn't happen based off of things that I don't know yet. That regardless of what happens in my life, of who I meet, what comes into my life, how things want to be expressed or moved, that I could give you a guarantee that no, for me, it's about like, because we live in a radical community where love is openly expressed with our hearts, at least, and through dancing. So it was around not forming any bonds or unions with another person, because like, let's be honest, like I don't have a womb. You do. And there are important considerations that men could make to consider the differences when it comes to how women can keep their wombs safe and keep the energy pure through the archetypes and through the energies that all like that comes down to what happens when you are a sensitive being and how we can be honored in that sensitivity. And an even more like everyday example would be like creating a container where I know that I want to be free to dance with whoever I want at all times, but to create a container where I wouldn't dance with anyone except her. What is that? That's a date. That's like intentional time creating a date. Like, and so like really acknowledging that, like these, like, oh, I'm doing this thing for you, even though that I know that I'm free to do other things. It's like creating a time bound container that for this dance, I'm not going to dance with anyone else but you, because I want to. And the reason I want to is because of my own desires and also what I know of how it impacts her nervous system from the radical experiments we've been making around how free we can be within and outside of the relationship too.
Right. And speaking to that container, we actually did that very recently. We were coming out of a contraction, which I think was like around actually this group experience we had with our friends who came in to support us very divinely, because we were asked to be part of this group and we're so grateful for it because it's been tremendously helpful. And I want to say that there are all different relationship dynamics in the group. So some people are more monogamous and some people are more polyamorous and some people are more open and some, you know, and some people are more monopoly like us. We get to be that. And yeah, like after that, so it was a Friday night. And then that Sunday we went to dance together. We were fully expanded because we had been contracted for a day or two, and working through, and we did work through. And one thing I said to you, babe, is I remember saying, but do you want me to dance with anyone else? And you were like, no, not right now. My nervous system also could not handle that. And so being in the now, like what is here now, not what was here then or what's going to be, but what's here right now, and to tend to that space, to tend to our hearts together in that space. And it's great when we're showing up to a dance and actually we both want the same thing. I don't expect that that's always going to be the case, but in this case, and guess what? I had my safest and most best dance with him that day. So what a gift to be in that expanded space, mm-hmm. because I felt, because he trusted me, because I've been so open with him. And when I asked for what I needed, he was able to also meet me.
I love what my friend Life said, and that we get to decide what is a key and what mm-hmm. is a cage. When you want to have a relationship where we don't confuse love with ownership or possession, that we can be like a bird that is able to fly freely through the sky and through the trees and return to feel the gift of what it's like to have the freedom of our wings be returned to the love of our hearts, and to know fully. That was an important distinction for me lately. Like, what is a key ultimately, mm-hmm. and what is a cage ultimately, mm-hmm. for me mm-hmm. right now?
It's so touching. Yeah, I feel really moved by what you're both sharing. It's like bringing me to tears, just in the sense of how much you trust yourselves enough to be radically present with one another. It's a really courageous space to be, right? Because mm-hmm. I believe these contracts, these agreements, this like concept of marriage is rooted traditionally in scarcity, right? And like, I don't trust the divine. I don't trust God. I don't trust myself. I don't trust you. And so like, I need to create this container in order to give me the perceived idea of safety. And it's just like deeply moving that you've met in this space where you're like, we are committed to being like radically present in our truth. And that is what we will bow down to and share with one another. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait a second. So beautiful, and like how fluid that can be and how ever changing and expanding mm-hmm. and evolving that looks and feels.
We're not going to get bored because it never
it's a lifelong experiment. And just like maybe the last question before we wrap up is, I would love to hear more, because we've been talking a lot about the contractions, and I would love to hear like what's on the other side of the contraction. What are these expansive states that you have experienced mm-hmm. together and separately? And mm-hmm. how is it different than any other relationship that you've been in because of the work that you're doing?
Mm-hmm. A beautiful question. I can take this one first. I'd love to for Delfina yep. to totally marinate on top of whatever occurs and bring it home. So I love to initiate here and say that for me, you know, and I relate this to your question of devotion too. What makes the relationship truly generative despite all the challenges? Mm. And it's the ability to feel completely accepted, to feel completely met by another person, where I have help being with what's alive in me in a world that can feel so overwhelming just from being in the presence of her. Where that devotion can come through as I may not always be able to meet her needs and wants, but the devotion mm-hmm. is the devotion to understand them. It's a devotion mm-hmm. to to see what I can do about them. And for me, like in our relationship, the union, it gets to be more from the sum of our reflections. It gets to be the divine shining light, shining back through into our hearts. It's healing, and there's growth and contraction, but the expansion is feeling so empowered in my higher soul self that I can remember who my spirit is and what my spirit is here to do. From it's like meeting someone and realizing, oh, you're here to help me. We can't do it alone. And to have a partner who can create with you a space that's reliably devoted to helping you remember who you are, or as I've been exploring lately, helping you remember who you are, really that radical presence, just remembering yourself through another person. For me, that expansion is the freedom, is the delight, it's the radiance, it's the return to my inner space of deepest knowing through another person that makes the relationship a gift as well as growth.
So this is an extended time, right?
So beautiful. So
this is an expanded time, right? You're seeing actually an expanded time because we're coming out of a contraction from that evening. So
we call them ceremonies.
Ceremony. We call them ceremonies. And we also have expanded ceremonies. So it is different because this relationship pushes me in a way that no other relationship has pushed me whilst being surrounded by unconditional love. And so that is how it is different. And I've been married. I've been in relationships that were less mature before my marriage. And what's unique about my relationship with Ben is that no matter what, all parts of ourselves are present. That there's this value around truth and this value to bring unconditional love into the space. And it just so happens that right now in this time with this person, we choose the form that it's taking to be partnership. And we have experience enough with the other beautiful souls that have come into union with us to know that we want to do it consciously, to know that we want to every day ask, is this the right form for this love to take? And the reflection that I receive back from this person over and over and over again is important to right now I'm sitting with, no matter how much heartbreak I'm experiencing in the relationship or expansion I'm receiving, and maybe this is the expansion that I'm receiving outside of that space of heartbreak is he is showing me what I want, who I am, who I'm becoming all the time. And so I get to be in love with myself because I get to know who I am and how beautiful that is through the reflection of what I want in this life and what I'm manifesting in this life. He's propelling me forward through the contractions, and that's the expansion, is that I get to know who I am and who I'm becoming and who I want to be all the time. I get to be in clarity so that I can create. And I'm conscious of it this time. I've been doing it all along, but this time I'm conscious of it. So thank you to all the divine unions that have come before him too, so that mm-hmm. I can be in conscious relationship with my partner, true conscious mm-hmm. relationship with my partner, and to be held in his truth mm-hmm. while also being in the acceptance and holding my own.
To be more devoted to a person than what shape that relationship is taking or gets.
What I'm extracting from all these just heart-wrenching, beautiful, gorgeous shares about your expansion is that it really comes down to this deeper sense of self. And from that deeper conscious sense of knowing thyself, then how you navigate in the world completely radically opens up and changes. And this union allows you as an individual to step into your greatest purpose, which is realized through self-knowingness. And the more that we really know who we are, why we came here, where we're going, the more that we can really tap into and harness our purpose on this planet, which has to be the deepest reason that we're here, is to fulfill our purpose and fulfill our mission. So going back to this theme of divine union is the strongest force on this planet. And your union is just a microcosm of macro. So thank you. Thank you so much for your embodiment, your presence, your truth, your willingness and devotion to work through all of the contractions and your ability to receive and fly through the expansions on the other side.
Thank you.
And as we are wrapping up, I just want to give gratitude again to both of you, Ben and Delfina, for being on this episode of Taboo Talks. For those of you watching and listening, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We wouldn't be here without you and every one of your follows, likes, comments, shares with anyone that you feel like is relevant and would learn and grow from this conversation. It truly supports this mission so we can keep continue to expand. And again, we are Cis Society. And if conversations like this excite you, please subscribe here and follow us at cissociety.world on Instagram, or also listen to these via Spotify podcasts as we break down the walls of stigma and liberate our truths.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the Cis Society movement.